The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I haven't seen you guys in a little while. I had a pretty quiet week. How about you guys? Nothing? Now what am I saying? I got married last week, which is great. No. Thank you. That's too kind, but that's not the point. You are too kind, but that is not the point. That is not why I get up and preach. But I tell you that to remind you of this interesting fact. It was a wonderful wedding. You know, I'll tell you all about it when I'm not preaching. But what has been most joyous, I mean, how do you even compare, right? All things were joyous about it. What was wonderful was over the last few months, 6 months, 9 months, something like that, any time the wedding came up, people came up to us and sort of said, "Oh, do you know, I have been married and here's my advice." And you know, sometimes it was a little odd, but mostly it was generous and loving, right? People were not offering because they wanted me to be just like them. They were offering because they had enjoyed this thing so much, and they wanted me and Stephanie and I to enjoy it so much as well. There were wonderful stories that people shared. All, of course, at the same time, all these things came out in the media about marriage, and what's interesting about that, there was a radio show that played some research about marriage. One of the key killers of marriages, they said, you can watch two married people interact for 45 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, and if you see contempt, boy, that's a tough road to go down. So avoid contempt was one of the pieces of advice, which, you know, is a good place to start. Some newer relationships offered something a little bit more basic. Don't sit at the table and look at your phone when you're having dinner with your wife or your husband, which seems simple, but it's a hard rule, I think, sometimes when the Giants are playing or something like that. It's hard. But some other people offered wonderful experience, you know, years to share with. You know, one of the things that many people came back to was date night, right? You've got to have a date night, and it has to be a night where you guys go out and have fun. It is not, and sometimes that means going shopping, but a lot of times that means, you know, really enjoying each other's company, not complaining about work, not, you know, complaining about what's not working at home, but really enjoying each other's company, which is a wonderful, it's like, oh yeah, I want that. Who wouldn't want that? The nicest thing someone said, this aphorism: a good marriage is a union of two very good forgivers. So I think, right? Isn't that beautiful? And so I think we're one for one on that. No. All of these were offered lovingly. All of these were offered generously. You know, they were offered as this thing to share with us. And what's very interesting now is to have them all collected together and to think, you know, What will continue? What will trying them on? What will fit and what won't fit? What will repeat so often that it'll become a rule in our household, like no tech at the table or whatever, right? What are the things that are going to just constrain us and sort of keep us apart from each other, you know? And versus what are the things that will really make our relationship flourish? Anyway, all that is to say, Jesus has a wonderfully interesting interaction today in the gospel, right? He's walking along. He has done all these wonderful things, miracles and healings and such, and he and his disciples sit down. It's probably clear that they're out in the outdoors somewhere beautiful, and they sit down and they begin to eat, and the Pharisees, who are kind of with all the people kind of washing, wandering along, say, "Hey, wait a minute. You guys didn't wash your hands. What is up with that?" Jesus is drawn again into conflict with the establishment by this. Now, this is the third time that this has happened. Way at the beginning of his ministry, people came up to Jesus and they asked, "John and his disciples are fasting, but you guys are acting like it's a party. Why is there that difference?" And then a few days later, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they say, as they're walking through a grain field and the disciples are picking little heads of grain and throwing them in their mouth, the Pharisees say, "Hey, it's the Sabbath, and picking grain is working. Why are you guys working on the Sabbath? You're not following the rules." And now, of course, they sit down together to eat. They don't wash their hands. And the Pharisees say, "That's not fair. You're not following the rules." You can kind of hear them stamp their feet a little bit. "That's not fair. You're not following the rules. You're not doing it right." Can you imagine that? And Jesus, I'm sure, calmly sort of steps back and thinks, how can I do that? How can I address this? In the midst of all of this tension between the establishment and Jesus, he has been transforming people's lives. He's been healing people, casting out demons. He's been feeding thousands of people with just little bits of bread and fish. He's offered parables, and in each case, he's reminded people of the primary relationship in their lives, that between them and God. He's drawn them back through all of these miracles, all of these occurrences, all of these parables. He's drawn them back into a deeper relationship with God. He's kind of taken the coal and blown on it a little bit so it glows a little brighter, so they remember what it's like to be near a flame, to have a rich relationship with God. And to be kind to the Pharisees aren't just being insistent about rule following. What they're saying is, "Hey, we have a living relationship with God too. We have all these rules that keep us in right relationship." You understand that for the Pharisees, there was common stuff. And really, the word in Greek for defiled is common. It's not that unusual. And there's holy stuff, right? So you've got common and holy. And if you want to be set apart, if you want to come closer to God, you just have to kind of put the common aside for a little while. It's not a sharp divide. You have to do some preparations the day that you want to become holy or the day before. There's some things that are common that you would never make holy, and there's some things that are holy that you would never make common. And so it's just this simple rule, and the Pharisees are just saying, "Hey, this divide, washing our hands, for instance, is this thing that brings us closer to God. Why aren't you guys coming closer to God? Following these rules helps us." And Jesus kind of shakes his head a little bit, and he says, "You guys have remembered the rules, but maybe you've forgotten the thing that the rules are built to sort of shape. You've forgotten the relationship in keeping the rules. Maybe you've drifted a little off track." And he quotes Isaiah, which is to say that he reminds them that every few generations, Israel falls away from God. And it happens to us in our lives too. Every now and again, we lose track. We fall back on something familiar, the rules or something, to remind us of God, but what we're really doing is substituting the rules for this living relationship. What we're really doing is forgetting about what God really wants, that living, breathing relationship. And so he just quotes, just like Ezekiel, just like Jeremiah, just like Isaiah, Jesus is just saying, "Hey, I think you guys might have lost your way. The way's over here. It's easy. Come on, let's walk down. Washing hands is important, but it's not the primary thing." It's just like these rules that Stephanie and I are trying on. It's like we're fiercely guarding date night, but then we spend the evening uninterested in each other. It's like we've kept our phones away from the table, but we're not enjoying our time with each other. It's like we've avoided work talk for all through dinner, and then as soon as dinner is done, everything comes spewing out. We've forgotten that the rules serve to shape and support the relationship, and we think sometimes we get lost like this, that the rules are what is the relationship. We just confuse one for the other. It's an easy mistake to make. So Jesus is just saying that life with God is like a relationship. There are some rules that help put your best foot forward, right? But the point is that it's not the rules, it's the relationship is the important thing. So take my relationship advice. I have been married for 8 days. I know a lot about relationships. I made it. If I can just repeat this week, I will be fine. Take my relationship advice. Focus on the relationship. The rules can help, but if the rules get put first, the relationship can suffer. Yeah? Amen.